revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 3 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series, or to the tapes out of sequence, can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
Well, the Lord wants us to, our hearts to be conformed to the image of Jesus, isn't that right? Our hearts were the image and likeness of Satan. We, our hearts were in agreement with it, so out of our mouth comes the fruit of Satan. We repented, we changed direction, and now we resist the devil so that his words do not get down in our hearts, so our mouth won't be speaking, so it won't be the image and likeness of Satan. Is that right? So we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him, bearing fruit in all good works and increasing in the knowledge of God, and we're going to be strengthened in all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously, we're giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen? Who his own self has taken every weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, curse, and sin, and by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And many of you right now, or some of you are being oppressed here tonight, aren't you? Hold up your hand. So come in here and so forth? Right. I think some men... Let's just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this word that's forever settled in heaven. Your word is the final authority. And Lord, we just want to bless you and thank you for love. We just thank you that we put to death all the works of selfishness and self-centeredness, all the works of Satan, of the cursed nature. We just thank you that we are being conformed to your image, that our mind is being renewed we'll walk in the image and likeness of you, that we have received the word of reconciliation because we're being reconciled back to God. We put to death the deeds of rebellion. Now, Lord, I ask your blessings and grace over this meeting, and I plead the blood of Jesus against every work of darkness. You've given us authority over all the works of darkness. I plead the blood of Jesus against every work of distraction, anger, intimidation, all the works of legalism, unbelief and doubt, traditions. I separate and seal these with blood. Every religious stronghold, the spirit of harlotry in Jesus' name is bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit of error is separated and sealed by the blood and bound in the name of Jesus. Every word, curse, and spell over this meeting right now, we break this in Jesus' name and we release this and remove it because we bless our enemies right now in the name of Jesus. We bless those who hate or despise us, and we just release these works from here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I expose by the blood and separate and seal by the blood all these works of infirmity and destruction right now that are attacked in these people's body right now. You sent your word to heal them, and your word is life to them and helped all their whole flesh. Your word doesn't return void. We receive the word right now. I take authority over all of that works of pain right now. Pain, we renounce all the word curses of pain. We renounce any trust in anything except your word to heal them. And now in Jesus' name, lift up your hands. This pain and soreness is leaving right now. All the works of ache and headache, we seal you by the blood. We rebuke you, and I command you to leave each person right here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're released right now. Just say they're gone. Just say it. They're gone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the works of infirmity, destruction, you're at attention right now. The works of infection and diarrhea are released right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're removed in Jesus' name. They're removed. All heaviness and gloom and bondage in the name of Jesus, you are separated, sealed by the blood, and you're removed from these people right now in the name of Jesus. Just say, bondage is gone. Say it. Heaviness is gone. Gloom is gone. Burden is gone in the name of Jesus. Say it. They're gone in the name of Jesus. All the works of false burden and false responsibility and false peace are gone right now. It's released in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We always triumph in the name of Jesus. We're born again, kept by the power of God. We're redeemed by the blood. We're born again by the Word of God. We're complete in Jesus. Our sins are nailed to the cross. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All confusion and mind wandering and mind binding and the works of distraction are separated. We have this mind of Christ here. Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand to Jesus and let it go. There goes confusion and all the works of mind binding spirits. In Jesus' name, they're released now in the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All these were all the works of darkness. It's been assigned all the rulers against this meeting. And if there be any hindrance here, we break your authority. You bring you under our authority in Jesus' name. All the works of darkness under you in Jesus' name are under our authority. We separate, seal you with the blood, bind you, and remove you in Jesus' name. We hold the word, and the blood is a hedge against all reinforcements in Jesus' name. And now in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing, peace, grace, love, healing, deliverance over his meeting. Hug four people around the neck before you sit down. Praise Jesus. Love them. Well, praise the Lord. Now I'm going to try to put two things into one, so I want you to turn your Bible quick, and we're going to get in it, and we're going to get through it. We're going to talk about the double-minded, the adulterous, and the doctrines of men tonight, okay? We're going to get that together, and kind of, if there'd been any other time to fit it in there, I would have sat down tonight, because I want to hear what Bob and Rick have to say there. But we need to get this in at this point. And so we'll just go ahead and do this. Now, may I ask you something again? What kind of bride is the Lord Jesus Christ coming after? A spotless bride. May I ask you one question? Is someone who practiced sin or practiced any lust rebellion that they don't give up, may I ask you something? Is that spotless and blameless? All right. Someone who practiced sin is not receiving chastisement. They're making this thing an idol. See, we come to the Lord with all our heart. Is that correct? And when you let your heart go to the world, the things in the world, or anything, or operation of the lust or cursed nature, and you will not give it up, and you continue to practice it, that's rebellion and idolatry. Because a child of God will come to the light, as we've seen in John 3. Amen? All right, now, turn me quickly to Romans 13. Now, we're going to have a Bible drill tonight, and we're just going to see mostly what the Bible has to say tonight. And, boy, I tell you, I knew at the very beginning this was going to be a special time, and that we've just been enjoying it a bunch. All right, in Romans 13, we see in verse 12, the night is almost gone, the day is at hand, let us therefore lay aside what? What are we going to lay aside? The deeds of the flesh, the deeds of rebellion, the deeds of lust. And then we're going to put on what? We're going to put on the armor of light. Is that right? Now, I want you to remember that of armor of light's over in Ephesians 6. We're going to put it on. Now, I'm going to go through these things quickly because most all of you are familiar with these verses, and this is just a little review for you. Now, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, nor in sexual promiscuity, not in sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Now, let me just remind you something. You lay aside rebellion. Look at me. You lay aside rebellion and you put up the weapons of Jesus. What do you put up the weapon? One of them, it said, above all, you put up what? The shield of faith. What do you put up? Shield of faith, just like Jesus did in Luke 4. You put up the shield of faith so no rebellion is going to come to your mind down here into your heart. You stop it right up here because our weapons are mighty in God to tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every thought that exalts itself against the Word of God. All lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is rebellion, exalts itself against the Word of God, and it says you will take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus, and that got in your Bible to do, not analyze. Amen? And we're to do that. So that is our weapon. We will put them on because we are purifying our heart, which is sanctification, which is separation, being reconciled back to God. Amen? So, now, in verse 14, so we've changed masters from Satan. Our heart used to live for this cursed nature. Now we have a change of heart. We're walking in a new direction. We lay aside the deeds of darkness and rebellion. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make no provision, no provision, no provision, no provision, no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Did that say no provision? What do you think it's saying somewhere? Make some provision? Obviously, there's something that the Bible doesn't say two different things, does it? All right? So that's the reason we know it. Bob taught about the carnal Christian when we was here before in 1 Corinthians 3. And so anyway, we make no... Let's We make no provision for rebellion. I mean, this is what we're repenting from, so we don't forget our former sins there, and we forget it and move right back into it. Now let's, if you will, please, I want you to look with me in Ephesians, turn over to Ephesians 6, and see what your Bible tells you and I that we're to do. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Now your Bible says, now when your Bible says to do something, this is a mirror, and we come to look in the mirror to see if our lives line up with what the Bible says. Is that right? Our lives, our hearts supposed to line up with right here, the Spirit and the Word in agreement, right? Now in verse 11, you put on the full armor of God, you put it all on. I mean, God said put it all on, didn't He? You put on truth, you put on righteousness, you put on the gospel, you put on the word, you put on faith, you put on salvation, you put on all of these, because if you don't have all these, what do you think is going to happen to you? The powers of darkness are going to run you over. All right, you put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? What are we going to stand against? The schemes of the devil. What is the schemes of the devil? Rebellion. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boast of pride of life. They talk to you up here, or they speak through someone, and then when you receive it in your heart, then it's going to come out your mouth, and then you're going to be speaking in rebellion to God. Amen? That's the fruit of it. When they can talk to you up here, it gets in your heart. The fruit of it's going to be coming out of your mouth. Where it's pride, ego, rebellion, selfishness, whenever these things get in your heart, it comes out your mouth. That's discernment. Amen? Okay. Now, if we look there in verse 13, therefore it says, we already read over in Romans 12, you lay aside the deeds of darkness and take up the armor of light, right? What is the armor of light? So no more deeds of darkness to be in your heart. That's what you repent and lay aside, so you make no provision for the lust of the flesh. So you put on this armor. Now folks say, well, I already know these things. Hey, folks, this thing gets plainer to me every time I go through these things. I see more. And I'm going to tell you something. That is what the war is. That rebellion doesn't get in your heart, that your heart don't be. With the heart, you believe in the righteous. With the heart, you believe in the unrighteousness. Amen? Okay. Now, therefore, you take up the full armor of God that you may be able to what? You're going to resist. In other words, you're not going to turn back. You're not going to turn back. You're not going to turn back. You're going to overcome and endure to the end. So that you may be able to resist an evil day, and you're going to do everything to stand firm. Now 16. In addition to all, you take up this shield of faith. That's the same shield of faith that Jesus had in Luke 4, with which you're going to be able to distinguish all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boast of pride of life. These words that exalts itself against the Word of God, which are called flaming missiles of the evil ones. Amen? Now they come to your mind. How many are aware? They're demons of pride. There's demons of selfishness. There's demons of all the fruit of Satan. They're demons of. What do you think they do? They talk to you. They want to build rebellion in your heart. But if you're not in the war, you've got a false security somewhere. You're not in the war. And if you're not in the war, rebellion's in your heart. Because if you're not resisting the devil, you're not resisting rebellion. Amen? Okay, now, go with me back to Galatians 5. Turn back to Galatians 5. And I want to remind you real quickly of something that we've read. It'll turn back to Romans 8. Hold Galatians 5 and turn back to Romans 8. And we see who the sons of God are. Now, let me remind you again, we're walking one direction and our mouth and our hearts in agreement with Satan. Satan is our master, and these powers of darkness, of pride, Negro, they're keeping this cursed nature stirred up. Then you come, you see the light. You see the gospel. You receive the word in your heart. You change directions. You make a 180-degree turn, which is repentance. It's a change of heart. And now you're walking in with a new master. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this point, you become a son of God. Jesus said, at one point, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Now, let me ask you something. When Jesus becomes Lord, do you do all your best to help Him, or do you listen to Him and follow Him? All right? I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. May I ask you something? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord if you're not led by the Spirit of God? No, you're still Lord. You're still Lord. Now let's look right in verse 14. For all are being led by the Spirit of God, very plainly, this gospel and Bible right here said these are the ones that the Son of God. Is that correct? Well, let me tell you something right there. So in verse 12, so then, brethren, are we talking to brethren? This is the Son of God. Is that right? Brethren, We're not under obligation. It's not to the flesh anymore, not to rebellion anymore, not to live according to the flesh. For if you continue, if you're just living according to the flesh, death is working in you. Sin and death is working in you. But sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and you see, if you're led by the Spirit, what are you doing? The Spirit of God doesn't lead you into rebellion. The Spirit of God leads you to put to death all the deeds of the flesh, and that is life. That's the difference in life and death. Is that right? So, look at me. So we put to death all the deeds. Our heart turned into pride, and the Spirit of God have put our spotlight on it. We love Jesus more than we do any of these things, and we'll give them up. We love Jesus more than we do pride. We love Jesus more than we do unforgiveness. We love Jesus more than resentment. We love Jesus more than anger. We love Jesus more than hate. We love Jesus more than greed. We love Jesus more than the world. We love Jesus more than the things of the world. We love Jesus more than people. We love Jesus more than everything because He's Lord of our whole heart. Amen? And so when the Spirit of God shows us anything, this has got to go, it goes. You suffer in the flesh and you cease from sin. Amen? Because you will come to the light. Because you hate the deeds of darkness. And if a person does not come to the light, he loves the deeds of darkness and his heart. So that's how you're going to know them by their what? You'll know them by their fruit. Amen? So we know that through Adam that the curse of death came on us, that was the nature of Satan that came on us. And we see that Paul had said, who's going to set in 7:24, who's going to set me free from this body of death? Very plainly in chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God of life in Christ Jesus, sets you free from the law of sin and death. You put it to death, and that's the reason when you're led by the Spirit of God, there's no more rebellion in your heart. You'll put it to death when the Lord comes to you and shows it to you, because you're going to have a pure heart, that sanctification, and without the sanctification, you shall not see the Lord, unless you've got another Bible. And that has to do with the fear of the Lord that we learned today. Boy, that was good. I mean, it was good, real good. Well, so, verse 4. In order that the requirement of this law is going to be fulfilled, and this law is written, this law is to people to show them that the judgment of hell is on them, that they're in rebellion. It's written to the homosexuals, the ungodly sinners, and unlawful people to show them. And it says, in that this requirement of this law is going to be fulfilled in those who do not walk according to rebellion anymore, but they're led according to the Spirit. They're led according to the Spirit, and you can't take these things and fit them in any boxes today. The boxes are going to have to line up with the Word. This is the box. All right? Now, if you go over to Galatians 5 now, we see something there. Do we see that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? Huh? All right, in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, verse 16, 5:16, and you will not, you will not, you will not, you will not, you will not carry out what? You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You will not carry out the rebellion, because you will come to the light. Because you're going to let the hedge down on yourself when you have rebellion in your heart. And immediately you're going to know that you're not walking in peace. You get before God. He's going to show you exactly what it is. You repent. You turn from it in your heart. And immediately the hedge comes back. Amen? That same hedge is supposed to be around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason it said you walk along the hedges and compel them to come in to peace. It's a walk of peace. But it's not peace. I want to read something to you in 1 Peter 2. In 1 Peter 2, beloved, or verse 11, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your mind, will, and emotions with your flesh. When you give in to lust, rebellion, the lust of flesh, your lust of the eyes, the boast of pride, when you give in to it, you lower the hedge, and there is a war that comes against your mind, will, and emotions, and that's where the world is, and this is where. So we're back in 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. These obedient children, we're not conformed to these former lusts which were ours in our ignorance. We're no longer in darkness now. But like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One, we're going to be holy in all our behavior. Amen? So, if we're led by the Spirit of God, we will not carry out any rebellion. Is that what your Bible said in Galatians 5:16? Let's don't act like it's not there. Is it there? Okay. Now the next verse. Now I don't care what people are doing. I'm talking about what's in this Bible. Amen? Okay. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition so that you can no longer do the things you please. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, that means there's no rebellion, that you put to death all rebellion, so you're no longer under judgment, no longer under the law. Is that right? Now, there's a church today, a lot of people who call themselves, Jesus became a curse for me at Calvary, but they're not led by the Spirit of God because their fruit is very obvious that they're not led by the Spirit of God. In other words, they count to rebellion to God. Amen? And kind of like it talking about Babylon in Revelation 18:2, it's a dwelling place of demons. And they have a right to be there. But if you look further at the fruit of this Spirit in 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, you're going to walk in love. You're going to walk in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, against self-control. You put to death all the deeds of rebellion, and there's the fruit of God. And against these kind of things right there, there is no what? There is. Look at me, folks. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of all rebellion that your heart turns to, right? I mean, you die to it. You suffer in the flesh and cease from sin. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Is that right? All right, then, when you put it to death, your mind is being renewed. What's it being renewed to? The image and likeness of Jesus. It's been conformed back to God where you fell from, and the first Adam and last Adam brings you back into God. Is that right? So when your heart is living for, led by the Spirit of God will lead you to do away with every rebellion in your heart. Anything it's to, He'll lead you to do it. Unless you want to make Jesus one of your idols. See, that's chastisement. When you're being chastised, there's something matter with your heart. You go right then and you can enter into peace, well, you turn from it in your heart right then, repent and turn from it. And anytime you haven't got peace, there's something wrong in your heart. Amen? And I'm telling you, the walk with Jesus is a walk of peace. It's walk of peace. And I'm going to tell you, Hebrews 3 and 4, to enter into rest is not optional, it's a commandment. Amen? You will enter into rest unless you've got another gospel. But see, there's no law against such things. There is no law. That's the reason you're no longer under the law. There's no law against these things because when you remove the rebellion from your heart, you're out from under law and you're out from under judgment when you're putting it to death. Amen? Is that right? But you have another. You have some more scripture right there. I want to look at verse 24 first. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus, if you really belong to Him, you've crucified the flesh with its desires and passions. Amen? Now, if you belong to Him, you crucify it. You die to it. Amen? And it's there, isn't it? All right, now in verse 19, now the deeds of rebellion are evident. Now, how are the deeds of rebellion evident? Look at me, folks. This is a very important thing. This is why I'm going back over this, because I'm going to be talking about the mouth tonight. The double-minded adulteries. The mouth. The deeds of rebellion, just like Matthew 7, you're going to know them by their fruit because they're going to be coming out their mouth. Do you understand that you can mix a little of God and a little of the devil? Wonder what they call something like that. Wouldn't be adulterous, wouldn't it? Huh? Absolutely. And that's what you're going to see tonight. So you're going to know them for the deeds of the rebellion. See, there is a law and judgment against them, but there's no law against the deeds of the Spirit, but there is a law and there is judgment against people who practice rebellion to God. And that's what a form of godliness leads you to do. Say, Lord, Lord. And He said, I don't know you. Is that what He's going to say in Matthew 7:21? Okay. You know the fellow under there, right under there, what was he doing? He was casting out demons, he was prophesying, and he was doing miracles. And he was also, Jesus said, I never did know this fellow. I never did know you. Well, he said, well, you know, I was doing all these things in your name, Jesus. Yes, but I wasn't in 25 miles of it. I wasn't in 25. You were practicing lawlessness. You were practicing sin. I never did know you. You never did repent. You never did turn from it. The powers of darkness was using you. All right, let's continue. Now, the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of rebellion, are the fruit of rebellion, are evident, which are immorality, impurity. What's the opposite of a pure heart? Impurity. Is that right? Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things. What is talking about? The things of the flesh, the things of the cursed nature, rebellion. Circle that like these. The things like these, verse 20, which I forewarn you. Now, before I read the rest of it, we're not going to act like that's not in there now, are we? Huh? I forewarn you, just outpouring, that those who what? If you practice these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now go run and if you want to run and find some scripture and just kind of say, well, this can't we see, in other words, we gotta prove the Bible wrong because the structures have hearts, you know. See, because if you ever say, hey, you know, we hadn't been taught this, well then you get to choose between this or this. And then if this has got your heart, then you go find you something else to explain away the Word of God. Because you're not entering the kingdom of God. Is that what your Bible says? You'll not enter there if you're practicing. Why won't you enter into it? Because you've made an idol out of some things that you love something more than you love the Lord. Is that correct? Now, while you're there close by, let me just show you in Galatians 6, verse 7. Now, God says things do not be deceived because He knows these are the things that you can be deceived about. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he reap. Now, look at me. How do you sow? You sow with your mouth. You understand that? You sow with your words. Seed come out your mouth? Now, let me ask you something. If the enemy's got rebellion in your heart, what's going to come out your mouth? Rebellion to God. All right? Now, look here. I want you to hear this. Now, you're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You make no provision for the rebellion. You put up the weapons. Well, what do? You're getting to war. You're no longer war after the flesh nature. You're no longer war. But your weapons are mighty in God that you got in Ephesians 6. And you put up this shield to prevent rebellion coming out in your heart. How do you prevent it? You take every thought captive. And you tear down every stronghold, every imagination, every thought that exalts itself against the Word of God. All lust, the flesh, the lust, the eyes, and the boast of pride of life. All the works of darkness exalt themselves against the Word of God. It's counseling rebellion. Amen? So when you do this, what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Is that right? All right, now in verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh, if that's where your heart is still living for that flesh, it's going to come out from your mouth. And what you're going to reap from this flesh is going to be corruption because you don't have a repentant heart and you really hadn't turned from rebellion. Is that plain? And this will get plainer. But means the opposite of the corruption. You know, and by the way, in 2 Peter, with the divine nature, you escape the corruption of the world. This fellow didn't escape it right here. But the one who sows to the Spirit, and you saw, did you see the two different kind of fruit over here in Galatians 5? It's sowing to the Spirit and sowing to the flesh, if that's what's coming out of your mouth. Huh? Amen? Practicing? But the one who sows to the Spirit, he's the one that's going to reap what? He's going to reap eternal life. That's right. Now, will you please turn me to Ephesians 5 quickly? Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 5. God said He's going to warn you again about being deceived, and there's something you can know for certain. Verse 5. This you can know with certainty, that no immoral man, no impure... What's the opposite of a pure heart? An impure heart. All right? A no immoral or no impure person or a covetous man, no idolater as an inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. Hold your place right there, and I want you to look with me in Colossians 3 one more time. I tell you, you can't see it enough. Because this is where we're at. Colossians 3. Hold your place there and turn to me. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Now look with me in verse 5. Now, did we see in Ephesians 5 that none of these people right here are going to enter the kingdom of Christ? How many kingdoms of Christ are there? Somebody has to involve in the kingdom of God. What are they going to do with the kingdom of Christ? All right, now, Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body. You're going to be dead to immorality. You're going to be dead to what? Impurity. So that means you have a pure heart, right? You're dead to all impurity because you love Jesus and His Word more than any impure thing that Satan can put in your heart. Amen? Okay. You're dead to impurity. You're dead to passion. You're dead to evil desire. You're dead to greed. All of these things amount to what? They amount to idolatry when you will not give them up. You keep them. Amen? They are idolatry. And Jesus will not be one of your idols. That's the reason you're not going to inherit the kingdom of Christ. It's a false security that would make you believe that, and I'm going to show you exactly what that is tonight. It's another gospel. Now, 6. It's on account of these very things that the wrath of God is coming, and the wrath of God is on anyone who practices these things and not turn from them. If you don't have any problem with that, start John 3:16 and then read over the last verse and read, and you'll see the wrath of God remains on them. Verse 8, now you also put them all aside. Here are these deeds of darkness. Here is what the wrath of God is coming for. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and what? Slander and abusive speech from where? Your mouth. Did you notice what all come out of you last night when we dealt with these things? Then a bunch of things just start when you dealt with slander and judging people. And when you judge someone, immediately the powers of darkness have ground in your life. When you condemn someone, immediately. When you slander or gossip, immediately you've got a problem with the powers of darkness. That's understanding the fear of God. When you have unforgiveness or unmercy in your mouth, immediately you've got a problem with the powers of darkness in that area of your life. Immediately. I don't mean next day, right then. Yeah, I mean you enter into torment. I mean you're in torment right then. Of course, when you live with it all the time, you don't know what peace is. Right now. So you lay aside all abusive speech and slander from your mouth. What is abusive speech and slander? That is the things of the flesh, what it said you would not practice, because that is selfishness and self-centered. Only up in Ephesians 5. So you can know this certainty, verse 5. No immoral, impure person or covetous man. Now that impure person, does that kind of line up without the sanctification in Hebrews 12? No one is going to see the Lord? Huh? Does that line up with being a spotless and blameless bride that we were looking at last night? Who is an adulterer? He has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Now, verse 6, it says someone could come along and try to what? They could try to, what are they going to deceive you with? They're going to come up with empty words. They're going to deceive you with empty words. Wonder what the source of these empty words are going to be. It'll be the source of it. It'll be the powers of darkness. Satan's doctrines are always exactly an exact contradiction of what God says. Let no one deceive you with empty words because of these things. What things? The very things we've been reading about. Immorality, greed, idolatry, anger, impurity, all of these things. The wrath of God comes upon who? The sons of disobedience are the ones who will not put this to death and give it up. They still practice. They're still practicing rebellion. Amen? So what does it say to you right there? It didn't say be a lighthouse in verse 7. It said, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, this is not a very popular thing. This is what used to get Peter and John and James and Jesus and all the people in problems when they said these things right here. See, now the thing to do is to get you a vision and pick and choose through the Word of God and pick out the things that will make you look good and help God out. And then you're going to bring them on. No, you're not going to bring nobody on. Jesus' Word is what brings people on. Is that right? It's His Word that's going to bring people on. When you pick and choose through the Word, you're building on another foundation. You're leading the people in another. The blind are leading the blind. You say the Word just exactly like God said it, and it's the way He expects us to live. Now, may I ask you something? What I've read in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, is that a direct contradiction of what we've been taught about carnal doctrines? Absolutely 180 degrees different. Well, is it there? It is there, which means that something's been interpreted wrong about what we've learned in the past. And that's the devil's job when our ancestors are not exposed nor opposed the powers of darkness to make us believe a lie and hide the truth from us. Amen? Is there going to be a great falling away in the last days? May I ask you something? Is there going to be a falling away caused by doctrines of demons? What do you think a doctrines of demons will do? They'll tell you something just exactly opposite of what God is saying to you. Amen? Okay. Now let's just continue. Therefore, it says, verse 7, do not be partakers with them. And you know, in verse 11, you're not going to participate in these unfruitful deeds of darkness. Verse 15, you better be careful how you walk. Don't walk as unwise or foolish. Verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Look at verse 26. He's talking about the church. He's going to sanctify a church. He's going to cleanse her by the washing of the Word. We already saw last night you can't be cleansed by the washing of the Word if you love something else more than you do the Word. The Word, you won't take it to heart. You have to love the Word more than you do anything in this world because you won't turn from it. And now we see in verse 27, that he's going to come, he might present to himself the church in all her glory, have no spot or wrinkle or anything, but she's going to be holy and blameless. Amen? Now we remember in John 8, quickly, we saw in John 8 that Jesus was looking at a congregation there, And he said, verse 38, I speak the things which I see of my Father, and you do the things, you're walking your fruit, which is evident, you're doing the things you hear from your Father. In other words, your Father and my Father are different, because I'm speaking the Word of God, and you're doing the deeds of the devil, which is rebellion. And verse 41, he tells them plainly, you're doing the deeds of your Father. Now, I'm going through this real quickly, because most all of you have already been through it. And I'm just going, because I'm headed to a place right here. Now, verse 43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my Word. Why couldn't they hear the Word? Because they built a religious structure. They built a religious structure. They were deceived by the powers of darkness. They were walking in rebellion to God, and the powers of darkness used them to they captured their hearts with this structure. So when Jesus came along the Word of God, they couldn't hear it because what Jesus said wouldn't fit in the structure which had their hearts. Amen? They used the Word of God, but they had tunnel vision. And the only thing they could get out of the Word of God is what fit in their structure. The structure had their hearts. Amen? So we see right there in the last part of 37, he says, my Word has no place in you. So, verse 44, he tells them very plainly, and this is what Jesus would say today very plainly, you're of your Father, the devil, because why? Now, I want you to circle these words. You want to. 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 Your heart wants to. You want to do what? You like to do the desires of Satan, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, which is rebellion to God. You want to. You do the things you hear from your Father, and I'm saying the things I hear from my Father. Are you hearing me? Amen. Is everybody understanding that? Said, you want to do them. Well, what's he doing? The opposite of divine nature in the last part of 44. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He's a liar and father of lies, and that's the nature you've decided on. That's where your heart goes to. You want to do these things. You want to, and you've received this Word, and they're manifest because you do the things you hear from your Father, because that's what you want to do, which proves. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. You can't have two masters. Did you love one and hate the other? Is that right? So your fruit's going to show. Don't you forget about any kind of experience or anything like that. You'll know them by their not their spiritual gifts. You're going to know them by their fruit. Okay. Now, we see right there in 47, he is of God, hears the words of God for this reason. You're not a God. You're not a God. You don't hear them because you're not a God. Is that plain? Now, I want you to recall something over in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. I want you to listen to this right now. Now, see, Jesus didn't have the heart that couldn't hear the Word of God. People that can't hear the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what they're not a God. Is that plain? Okay. Now, I'm not saying that with any hostility. I'm not saying it in any anger. I'm telling you, saying what the Bible says. Okay? I'm not mad anymore. All right? Okay. The God, and 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they may not see the light of the gospel. Amen? How does he blind their minds? Well, we're going to see how he blinds the minds. He gets their hearts in idolatry. He gets them to turn away from the Lord in some manner or another. Is that right? Now, I want you to turn me back to Genesis 3, please. In Genesis 3. If we remember back in Genesis 2, verse 17... Now, I'm carrying you a little fast on these things in the Scripture because I'm going to mostly use all the words right now. Just tie some things together and some of the things you've already been familiar with. And they're going to be renewed. There are going to be some new things quickened to you. Now, I want you to remember in Genesis 2 that the Lord said when He'd already told them there in verse 9 that you've got the tree of life and tree of death. Is that right? Well, what is a tree of life? A tree of life, well, we know in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness right before God. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit coming out of your mouth, which means your heart is right before God, is a tree of life. This is how you become a tree of life, when you walk in righteousness. Right? All right, I want you to know the same temptations come to Adam, to Eve right there. He gave them the choice of rebellion or righteousness. Is that correct? The same choice as you. You get to go choose. You can go choose you a tree that has rebellion and death coming out of them, and you can eat that. And you can find a false security in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or you can go to a tree of life. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is supposed to be your teacher, and he's supposed to be your leader, where he's speaking through me or whoever he's speaking to. He's the one you follow. He's supposed to want to be the one you're in image and likeness of. You're supposed to reject everything else because the Spirit of God said that he'll lead you in all truth. He's no respecter of people. Is that right? And his word's not for private interpretation. So if you sit back and you bow to academic, you're going to bow to intellect, you're going to bow to men, you're going to follow after them, you've got an idol. Jesus is supposed to have all your heart. That's how he becomes Lord, when he has all your heart. Amen? So he said in verse 17, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall know it, in the day that you eat from it. What's the gospel say right there? You shall surely die. Amen? Look over in chapter 3, and what does Satan do? He tries to lead them to a tree of death. May I ask you something? Will Satan and the powers of darkness try to lead you to a tree of death? Would they make somebody look good that they could kind of lead you to them so you could eat off that tree, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life? Amen? Is that right? Do you think he'd do that? Do you think he'd do some things that make some folks look good, doctrines or anything else? Right? Wouldn't he do that? He might kind of back off of you and give you some feelings and so forth. Right? Well, let's see what he did right there. He told her he perverted the Word of God. I'm going to read all of it. But he talked to Eve. The conversation should already ended. She didn't resist the devil. And we see right there, Satan's gospel, verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, what? You surely shall not die. You can participate in rebellion to God. You can eat rebellion to God. It's all right for your heart to be in rebellion to God. You surely shall not die. What did God say? What did the gospel say? You surely shall die. And Satan said, God really said, you surely shall not die. Do you think you're hearing any of that today? You surely shall not die, hath God really said. Peace. All right. So we see in verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said what? The serpent what? You see, may I ask you something? Have you been being warned about a few things about that you could be deceived? Have we already seen some scripture over it? But why did God put it in the Bible? Because you could be deceived about those very things. He knew. Amen? These are the things where you'd be deceived about. All right, now, I want you to turn me to 2 Corinthians 11. And let's see. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Now, when you turn out, I want you to look up here. I want to mention something to you. May I tell you something in my heart right now, what's in my heart toward you right now? And this, why I'm going to read a scripture to you that Paul, the Spirit of God spoke through Paul. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy that you'll be present you as a pure virgin. Now, I tell you what's in my heart. I want to see all your heart, all of it. Now, that is making Jesus Lord. When you divide all part of it, you want some of it over there, and that's idolatry. But Jesus, a pure heart is when Jesus has all your heart. Amen? Okay? And I want to present you as a pure virgin. I'm jealous of you with a godly jealousy. Well, I'm not jealous with a flesh jealousy. I'm jealous. I want your heart to belong totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a pure heart. Now, if you don't love the Word more than you love the Lord, the Word can't even worship. Many of you have sit through these meetings and so forth, and you're sitting in other meetings too. The Word. But you know the Word. You get started and you start feeling free. You know why you're feeling free? Because you're in your heart. You're turning from things and you turn to the Word of God, and that breaks the strongholds. Are you hearing me? That's how the Word of God washes. What's the Word washes? It washes all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. It washes all rebellion that your heart is going to, because you're in love with Jesus with all your whole heart. Amen? Is that right? That's plain, isn't it? And so we see in verse 2, he said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, for I betrothed you to one husband that to Christ I might present you as what? Pure virgin. Look at me, folks. Please look at me. That it said pure, not impurity. The opposite is impurity. We saw what happens to impurity, didn't we? Impurity don't go there. Is that right? Now, I'm telling you, impurity doesn't go there. Now, the powers, the ancestors and everything had doctrines and things. They did not understand this kind of war and everything, and they were deceived. I'm telling you, they were deceived. We've learned some new things, so you become the light and say, you know, Paul had to come and say, grandfather and grandmother's wrong. Worshiping the temple is not where it is. It's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You have, when the word gets lost, you have to come back here. Is that right? Is that what we're doing? Well, I'm going to tell you, here's part of it right here. Here's a little of it. And so, Paul goes on and said, I want you to have a pure heart. I want to present you as a pure virgin. But he says, I'm afraid. Now, you take that word afraid and put fear up there. Paul says, I'm fear. What would Paul cause Paul to say, I fear? I fear lest as the serpent deceive Eve. May I ask you something? How did the serpent deceive Eve? By getting her to receive rebellion in her heart. Amen? He says, I fear for you, just like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Your minds, you're not going to be in a war. You're going to get led astray from the simplicity. And there it is, a pure heart, a purity of devotion to Christ coming to all your heart. What does the powers of darkness do? They come to divide your heart. They bring impurity. Amen? And that's what they did to Eve. And if are you in the New Testament? That's exactly what he says. I fear, hey, folks. If Paul says, I fear for you. Hey, folks, when did the gospel change from the time in John 6 when he walked away when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood? When he's talking about your enemies, my enemies are going to be your enemies, when you're going to have to die, that when you partake the Lord's Supper, you're dying to yourself, you're giving up everything that you're on there for, and the disciples walked away. When did that gospel change, folks? Tell me when it changed. It's the same gospel right there. You're coming with all your heart, the Lord. You don't come with bringing Satan by the hand there to him. Now, let's just continue. Here's how the serpent deceived Eve, but getting her to receive the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Here is how he deceives you and I today in the same way with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Verse 4, if anyone comes and preaches another Jesus, there it is, another Jesus whom we not preach, or you receive what? You get led by a different spirit like Eve did, which you've not received, and you get a different what? You get a different gospel which you've not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Now, this is exactly how the powers of darkness use you. They bring you another Jesus. You don't follow this one, you get another one. Another spirit moves in on you, which we'll see, and they lead you to another gospel and another Jesus. Let me ask you something. Do you think this gospel might say to you, you surely shall not die? If you have rebellion in your heart, you can practice rebellion. You surely shall not die. See, Satan's gospel is always a direct contradiction of what the Word of God is. Amen? Okay. Now, let's see how he does it. Let's see who these servants are. Look over in verse 14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants, who is his servants? The ones who disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. I want you to mark that, servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what? Deeds. To be according to their fruit. Now, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something with me right here, please. Hold your place right there, and I want you to look back with me for just a moment to Matthew 7. Would you do that? Hold your place right there and look with me at Matthew 7. Now, it said, They pretend to be servants of righteousness, but their end's going to be according to their fruit. Is that right? Their fruit and deeds. Is that right? Now, Matthew 7, now look with me right here. In verse 14, for it says, the gate is small and the narrow that leads to heaven. Is that right? Or life. And we saw that life is being led by the Spirit of God. Is that right? Okay, now, we should beware of who? These servants of Satan. These false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, they're pretending to be servants of righteousness, but their problem is where? Inwardly. Their heart. It's a problem in their heart. They have a divided heart. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves, and you're going to know them by what? You've got to watch for their fruit, their mouth. You hear it. Amen? Let me ask you something. When somebody has the Bible, they've got spiritual pride. When they come along, if they got spiritual pride, you follow them, what are you going to have? You'll wind up with spiritual pride. If they're fearful, what are you going to wind up with? You're going to be fearful. If they're obeying the part of the Word of God, what's going to happen to you if they've got your heart? No man has your heart. I'm not going to be a subject of no man. I'll be subject to the Jesus in the man. Amen? You follow me as far as you see me follow Jesus. Amen? I'll follow you the same way. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Of your whole heart. He's the leader. So we're going to see no good. Look at verse 18. I only like read 17. A lot of folks wish this wasn't in here. So every good tree is going to bear what? Good fruit, which is life. But the bad tree bears bad fruit, which is death and destruction. Amen? A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. If the deeds of rebellion are led by the Spirit of God, you cannot bear good fruit. Now let's go up there in verse 21, and don't forget this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be a people. Well, it's showing you two different people. One bear bad fruit, and one bear good fruit. One going to think that Jesus is Lord, and he's going to say, Lord, Lord, and this is what Paul says, I fear for you, that's going to be you. You're going to be the one who's going to walk up and say, Lord, Lord, and see, if you don't have the fear of God, you've got some kind of false security. You're not going to walk in this. A form of godliness is false doctrine. A form of godliness is doctrines of demons. A form of godliness leads you to hell. Amen? Now, but who is it that's going to heaven? The one that bears a good fruit, which does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Is that plain? Now we're back over there in 2 Corinthians 11. So we see that these servants of Satan, they might have some credentials. Look at me. They might want you to bow to them because academic, intellect, whatever. I'm telling you, that's flesh. Flesh likes to be followed. The Spirit of God always points to Jesus. Amen? It always points to Jesus. If the Spirit of God works through me, it'll drive you to Jesus. It won't drive you to me or nothing else. Is that plain? Now the sheep's flowing to use the thing of God and say, I don't mind getting God some glory as long as I can get 30% of it because I've got something I want to build and help him out. Oh my. That's not a pure heart. Huh? I'm telling you, men are not your source. Jesus is your source. He said he'd lead you in all truth. Now you bow to Jesus. Amen? Okay. Now, it's flesh that likes to make reputation. Jesus didn't have a reputation. We do not have any reputation. You can't have a reputation unless you're in the flesh. What do you need a reputation for? Don't we need Jesus? Well, you're not going to get him. He's not going to share his glory with Satan in the flesh. All right, now, therefore, it's not surprising if the servants of Satan, they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They act like they're servants of the Lord, they're servants of righteousness, and the only way you can tell them is not by gifts. We already found out that fellow then. Now, looking at me. Now, look at me. What kind of gifts do you think was operating through that fellow over in Matthew 7 that did the miracles and wonders and signs and prophesying in the name of Jesus? Tell me! It's all right to talk about it. What kind of gifts was operating through him? Do you think they come from God? Jesus said, I never did know you. Huh? Of course, everything there's a real thing of is a counterfeit of. Is that right? All right, how are you going to know that? Who are you going to know who's what? The fruit. That's exactly right. You'll know them by the fruit because I'm going to tell you what. But this is the gospel you're seeing here right now, and it's talking about death. And somebody that likes glory, and the powers of darkness are lifting up, exalting, or whatever, like to draw you to them and everything. They don't like this. This is what kind of people that push you off the cliff. Because you mess up their... See, if something got your heart. I'm serious. Something else got your heart but Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, these are perilous times, folks. Can I go ahead and tell you the falling away, great falling away, is already taking place. You'd shiver and shake if you knew where we really were right now. And this is something we're learning. We need to learn the fear of God. Boy, God means business. Well, you take the Word of God and just talk about blessings and leave the rest of it out. Huh? You can speak about blessings when you want to build something else. But I tell you what, when you want to please Jesus all your heart, you take a whole Bible and you speak the curses and judgment too. Amen? Okay, now, I want you to turn to me. So it said they're going to be your servants of Satan. Turn to me to 2 Timothy 3. Let's start there. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Now, would it be that you'd call them imposters? Wouldn't it? Would it be imposters? Would it be servants of Satan? Wouldn't it be imposters? When they false prophets, would they be imposters? Amen? Good. You see it right there in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 rather. But evil men and imposters. There's your false teachers. They're going to proceed from bad to worse. They're deceiving and being deceived. May I ask you, what do deceived people do? They deceive others. They don't know they're deceived. A false prophet or false teacher doesn't know he's a false prophet or false teacher. Amen? And you're not going to know if you don't, the Word of God doesn't have your heart. Now let's go over and see what this false teacher, this imposter is doing right there. Here, verse 5. Now we know this, we're talking about a church because they're holding to a form of godliness. This is the church of the last days, a form of godliness. This is how they're leading people after a form of godliness, and they deny the power. I'm not talking about denying signs and wonders. They're denying the power of the Word of God. It doesn't say sign and wonder. It's the power of the Word right there. And it says right there, avoid such men as these. Now look, let's see how they're leading the people. You start up there in verse 1, let's see what kind of congregation they are. Let's see what kind of fruit they have. Let's examine it and see who. Verse 1, but realize this in the what? Last days. Now I want you to circle this. Difficult times, difficult times, difficult times, difficult times, difficult times will come. For men are going to be lovers of what? Look at me, folks. Does that sound like godliness? Look at me. When you're loving yourself, does that sound like godliness? Well, does that sound like purity? What's the opposite? Ungodliness and impurity. Amen? Let's see what their other fruit is right there. They're lovers of self. They're lovers of the things of the world. Money? First John 2:15-17, do not love the world, the things in the world, but he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's right, because Jesus is not going to be one of your idols. That's the reason he said this. He's not going to be on by all that's in the world. The lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's of the world. It's rebellion. So when you're lovers of the world, you're lovers of your flesh, you're lovers of money, boastful. Now, what's flesh got to boast about? Isn't that something? They're boastful, they're arrogant. We go on down, they're unholy. Verse 3, unloving. They're gossips without self-control. Let me ask you something, folks. Look at me. What do you think's coming out of the mouth of a congregation like that who has a form of godliness? Huh? And when you have a form of godliness, let's look at it. You have yourself a doctrine and you gather your heart around a doctrine or a teaching and you get yourself a false security and then you can go walk like this. And then you know what you're doing? You're in opposition to God then. Go to look over there in verse 13, verse 7. They're always learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can't come to knowledge. Why? Blocked. Absolutely blocked. When you've got idols in your heart, you got a veil. I mean, you're blocked. Like Ezekiel 14 says, it becomes a stumbling. He said, Son of man, these elders, they have idols in their heart, which has become a stumbling block in front of their face right there, which means it's a veil. They're blocked from the truth. They're deprived of the truth, which I'll show you clearly later on in 1 Timothy 6. But they're always learning, just right above always learning, no understanding. They have no understanding. When you ever learn it and can't come to knowledge of the truth. And verse 8, and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men, what they do? They oppose the truth, and look what they depraved mind. They are, you see that word, they're rejected is a word that regards the faith. You can be sure they don't have a shield of faith. And I guarantee you something else. Who's leading them? Spirit of the devil or the Spirit of the Lord? Tell me. The spirit of the devil is leading. They're deceived. Now, would you think this is where the doctrines of Dean would lead you? You surely shall not die if you have a form of godliness. Amen? And here's what people look for today. This is reading they reject. This reading they get upset when they hear this part of the Bible. It's reading it did to the disciples. You look over in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come, today, right now, that people will not endure sound doctrine, but what are they wanting? They're going to have their ears tickled, so they're going to accumulate with themselves. They're going to go find doctrines and teachers in accordance with their lust desires. And then when they've got a lifestyle in this world where they can be boastful, where they can be lovers of money, where they can be lovers of flesh, where they can be unholy, unloving, where they can be gossip without self-control, where they can be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, they can do all these things and feel comfortable. And they'll find them a teacher, and they'll find them doctrines. And then when you turn to a doctrine like this, it gets your heart, and for it, verse 4, the next step is you turn your ears away from the truth. Is that right? And when you've turned your ears away from the truth, so this is the reason you're warned. Now, quickly in Colossians 2:8, I just want you to see something right there. Just back up a little. Colossians, right after Philippians. I might use more than one verse. Colossians 2, verse 4. Colossians 2, verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with what? Some may come and just run over the top of you with persuasive arguments. For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see what? Good discipline. What is good discipline? Dying the flesh, obeying the Word of God. Godliness. Amen? And the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ as Lord of your whole heart, what are you supposed to do? Come and analyze the Word? Speculate about it? No. You walk in Him. Amen? Now look in verse 8. See to it. See to it. See to it. Here's a warning for you that no one takes you captive. Someone could take you captive through philosophy or intellect. You can be taken captive through empty deception. You can be taken captive through the traditions of men. You can be taken captive through the principles of the world. All these things rather than according to Christ. And who do you think is behind all these things? The powers of darkness. That's exactly what you saw in 2 Timothy 3. Amen? Is that right? So, I want you to look with me in Luke 6, please. Turn back to Luke 6. Luke 6. Now, what do you think is coming out of the mouth of a congregation like this? Disorder and every evil thing, isn't that right? Rebellion. Now, tell me, let me ask you something. How do you think you can get a group of people to get along who all live for themselves, their cursed nature? There's no way. They bite and devour one another. That's what Galatians 5 is talking about. So, we see right here that you are warned very clearly right there in verse 37. Let's go to 36. 6:36. You be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now let me ask you something. Incidentally, I want to tell you these same verses, and I forgot to share them while I go over there in Matthew 7, right before it tells you about going in heaven. You're going to know them of the fruit. These same verses are, some of these same verses are right there, right before then, and I forgot to mention them. But I want you to remember this. It's talking about the narrow way into heaven. If you judge, you're going to be judged. Do you know what I'm saying? But it said, now can you tell when mercy is coming out of somebody's mouth? If it's coming out of the mouth, it's where? It's in their heart. Is that right?
This concludes tape number 3. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 4, where this message continues.